Praise the Lord. I want to thank you all for joining us here for the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship. My prayer is that you are blessed by something we share here today. You have joined us by way of our later recording, and I'm hoping and praying that this message would touch your heart, touch your mind, and be a blessing to you. We're in the conclusion or the final segment of this series on Psalms 27 and Psalms 34, and we are so thankful we had this opportunity to share with those here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship in this study time. Amen. And I'm hoping again that you have partake of all the previous lessons and that you have been blessed. We're going to pick up where we left off, and that is verses 7 through 12, where we're going to start. And if you have our worksheet, you can join with us. We're going to begin at question number 11. And any material, anytime you need any information regarding our Bible Breakfast Fellowship, we encourage you to call our church office, where those material, those handouts can be made available to you. Leave a message and someone will get back to you and help you and assist you in obtaining the lessons or the worksheet. Amen. This is Elder Mary Ellis, and again, I thank you for joining us here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship. We meet every Sunday morning following our morning worship. During this season of pandemic, this is one of the ways we have connected and stayed connected, and it certainly has been a blessing. And I truly, truly thank God for this chance, this opportunity to share and to receive from those that participate. And so I again want to say we're praying that you're blessed as you later receive this word and listen to it. Amen. So go with us as we again study Psalms 27. I'm going to open up by reading verses 7 through 12. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said my face, my heart said, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out violence. Let me repeat verse number 12. It says, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out violence. Amen. Verses 7 through 12, we start with this psalm, Psalms 27. And this psalm is a reminder that believers should have unwavering confidence in God, who is our antidote, our answer, our solution for fear, for loneliness, and for salvation. It is clearly identified in this psalm that the writer, who was King David, and this psalm was perhaps written just before or right before he became king, around the time when Saul was so angry at David. This writer David noted in this writing that he was very familiar and confident in the presence and power of God. David had learned to have trust in God, and no matter what he was facing, not to fear. Hallelujah. He begins the psalm by saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" That's right. But we see in this psalm, David has some time where not so much he doubted, but just like us, sometimes we get at our low points and we begin to question God. And so even in this psalm, we see David not lose confidence in God, but just questioning, can I trust him? And the answer comes back. He comes back and he says, yes. Yes, I can trust in the Almighty God. I can petition him for help and he will answer. Amen. And so with us, sometimes we need to remind ourselves truly that the Lord has his eyes upon us. Amen. That when we're broken, crushed in spirit, when we're troubled, in danger of facing challenges, that we can trust in the Lord, who will free us up from having fear and know that we can call on him and he will answer. So this is what this psalm is about, having confidence in God. And so with our study of this psalm, my hope and prayer is that we would learn that God offers us this help today, that same help he gave David. He offers it to us, and he gives us hope for our future. And he does light our pathways. Yes, he does. Think about your own life. He does light our pathways, and he does deliver us. It may not come as we want it, but deliverance from the Lord is true. Hallelujah. So let's go to our question, our worksheet, and it says, in the verses that I read, verses 7 through 12, David, we're at the point where David makes this shift. Remember I said he begins by saying how great God is, that he's not going to fear anything, but he has some moments, some low moments, and he places that. And that's one thing about David I like. When he writes, he's honest. He's transparent. He just gives it all. If he's angry, he lets us know. I mean, some of his psalms, if you read them, he says, "Lord, take care of them." That's right. He becomes indignant with his adversaries, the enemy, and he asks God to take care of them. But whatever he's feeling, David lays it out for us. And so that's one of the things about the Psalms. Whatever you're going through, you can find the Psalms that will line up. But one of the things about David, when he writes, he may have those moments where he's laboring and need God to lift him up. But by the end of the psalm, he's celebrating God. He goes back to God's truth and says, I'm going to stand fast on God's word. And so here we have another shift in David writing in this Psalm 27. Again, we see throughout he begins by celebrating God. Then he begins to say, God, can I trust you? And now we're at where he is saying to the Lord, I need to pray to you. I need to talk to you, God. So we begin in verses 7 to 12, the shifting of David praying unto the Lord, seeking God, pleading with him, offering up supplication. That's right. This section begins, I'm answering question number 11 right now, that David begins to seek God in prayer. He begins to pray to God. He begins to plead or offer up supplications unto the Lord his God. Amen. Question number 12. It says, David begins to seek the Lord. And what does he cry out for? Yes, when he cries out to the Lord, he begins to ask God for his mercy. He begins to cry out for God's guidance and his help. He begins to look to the Lord for the assistance, for the attention that he needs. And he says, hear me when I cry and deliver me. Don't forsake me. Amen. So he begins to cry out unto the Lord and ask God for his mercy, ask God for his guidance, ask God for his help. And that's what we do when we are facing difficulties, when we are facing challenges. We too can cry out to the Lord like David in this psalm. We can seek his face and ask Him for guidance and mercy and ask Him for attention to our matter. Amen. And believe you me, He will. In His time and in His way, He will answer. All right, question number 13. In verse number 8, what do you think David was saying when he wrote, "When you said, seek my face"? What do you think David was talking about? It seems like he just dropped that in the middle of his questioning God. Well, David was referencing Deuteronomy 4 and 29 or Jeremiah 29 and 13, where God is telling his people to come to him for counsel. So David is going back to God's word found in Deuteronomy 4 and 29 and Jeremiah 29 and 13, where those verses encourages the people to call on the Lord. Where those verses encourage the people to seek God and to look to him to help them overcome whatever situation they may be going through. So David is saying, when you said, Lord, seek my face, I'm doing what you told me to do. That's what David basically is saying. When you said, Lord, call on me, I'm doing that right now. When you said, seek me and find me, when you search for me with all my heart, that's what I'm doing right now, God. I'm doing exactly what you said in your word. Your word tells me to seek you when I need you. Let me read Deuteronomy 4 and 29 to you so you can get an understanding what David was quoting when he said to God, this is what you told me to do, God, and I'm doing it. Deuteronomy 4 and 29 says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. So David is saying, listen, God, I'm following what you have put in place, and I'm trusting today that your word is true, because you said, when I seek you, I will find you. When I call on you, you will answer. When I search for you with all my heart, you will be there for me. Can I get an amen, somebody? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So David is doing there in the middle of him praying to the Lord that I'm going to do, God, what you have told us to do. And he says, my heart. And so David said, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. So David is saying, yes, God, I heard you, and that's what I'm doing right now. And with my heart, all my heart, I will seek your face. Amen. Praise God. Number 14, what do you think David was sensing in verses 9 through 10? In those verses, David is saying, don't hide your face from me. Don't turn away your servant in anger. You have been my help. Don't leave me now, God. Don't leave me now. Because sometimes my mother, my father, my friends, my loved ones, my co-workers, those that I counted on, they forsake me, God. But don't you do it, God. Don't you do it. Because I hear in your word, God, you say, even when my mother and father leave me and forsake me, you won't. You will take care of me. That's what I need you to do right now. He's reaffirming God's word. He's almost playing back God's word to God and saying, God, when I call on you, when I seek you, you said, when I seek you with all my heart, you will answer. I will find you. And so don't turn from me now. Don't leave me hanging now. And then he reminds himself, yeah, because what my mother and father did, you didn't. When my mother and father did, you didn't. You didn't leave me, God. You held on to me. You carried me. You watched over me. You were there for me. You were the one I could count on when everybody else left me. You were there. You were there for me. So I'm thanking you, God, that you have not forsaken me. And that's what David is crying out for in this psalm, that he wants God to do what he's already done and what his word says that he will do, that he won't forsake him. Because he's already shown David in verse 10 that when mother and father leave us or forsake us, the Lord will take care of us. So that's what he was sensing, that the Lord was not near. He was beginning to sense that there was some distance between him and God. And he didn't like that, because David was a person that had great fellowship with God, and he didn't want to feel like God was no longer there with him. So that's what he was sensing when he started writing verses 9 to 10. And again, this is my perspective on it, and I'm giving you what I believe the writer is seeing here in these verses. Amen. And so I thank God for illuminating his word. And again, I'm giving you what I believe the Lord is leading me to believe what the writer is saying in these verses. Amen. So he was beginning to sense that God was not as near as he wanted him to be. And so he began to cry out unto the Lord. But again, he is reminded, even in this prayer, that God will not leave us, nor will he forsake us. Amen. Number 14, 15. In verse 10, what does he write that God would do in spite of? And he says, even though he felt this way, that the Lord was not near, he believed that God would take care of him even when others couldn't or wouldn't. Let me repeat that. Question number 15 says that in verse 10, David began to sense that even though he was feeling this way, that the Lord was not as near as he wanted him to be, he believed that God would, even when others wouldn't, take care of him. Amen. So that's that deep sense of knowing God. We heard in our message today from our pastor, Bishop Luther, a great message. If you don't know me, he was referencing an old R&B tune, very popular tune. And the message he was bringing was, if you knew God like you said you know him, then you know that there's just certain things that he is all about. And this is what I'm getting right now from David. When he made that turn after crying out to the Lord, that even though he couldn't count on mother and father sometimes, he could count on God. That was that going back. I know you, God. I know you. I've been with you. You've been with me. I've experienced you over the years. When I look back over my life, come on, saints of old, y'all can say it. When I look back over my life, that's what I'm getting now, that David is saying. When I look back, I've in the land of the living, I haven't seen the righteous begging for bread, nor his seed being in want. So that's where I believe David is going when he says in verse 10, the Lord will take care of me. All right, in our next verses, 11 through 12, David again petitions in prayer the Lord to do what? Verse 11 and 12 says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. So in his petition, David is asking God to teach him his ways, to lead him down a smooth path, against his enemies, to deliver him from his enemies and from falsehoods or lies and from violent attacks of others. So David begins to cry out to the Lord and petitions him for his needs. And what did he need? He needed God guidance. He needed God to direct his steps. He needed God to deliver him from his enemies and from those that presented falsehoods or lies and spoke untruths about him, and also had tried to attack him in a physical sense. So he said, God, I need you. And I need you to show me the path that I need to walk, that my path may be smooth. And many times we need to cry out unto the Lord our God also. Say, God, I need you. I need you to show me the path to guide me so I don't go against the things that you've laid out for me, and that my way may be safe. Amen. Praise be to God. Number 17, in verse 13. David declares that he would have lost what? Well, let us read verse number 13 in your hearing.
Conference call, a service of WWE.
Verse number 13 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have lost heart. I would have fainted. He said, I would have fainted. I would have gave up hope to the point where I would have just dropped down dead. I would have feared greatly if I would not have believed. It took David going back to again, if you had known me. David went back to knowing God, being in that relationship with God, not being a stranger to God's goodness and God's blessing, God's mercy. He said, I've seen your goodness. I've seen your blessings in the land. And if it was because of that, it's because I know who you are and what you're capable of doing, that I didn't lose hope, that I didn't faint away, that I didn't drop in great fear. Because I know you, God. I have confidence in you. That's what David is declaring right here in verse number 13. I would have lost hope if it wasn't for the fact that I believe that your goodness is still in the land of the living. And that's what we need to do today, saints. Things may look crazy all around us. It may look topsy-turvy, upside down, in and out, all kinds of ways. But we know God. If we were together in class, I would say, lean hard on your neighbor and say, neighbor, do you know God? Because that's what's going to keep us, is our knowledge of who he is. If you had known me by now. That's what we need to be saying to ourselves today. Do I know the Lord? I've been walking with him all these years and I still don't know him. I still don't have confidence in him. I still can't trust him. No, we need to say like David, listen, it was because I do know you that I didn't lose hope, that I didn't lose faith, that I didn't lose my mind. Oh, come on here, somebody begin to shout. Thank God that because of the goodness of the Lord in your life, you didn't lose it. You was able to persevere and hang on in there. Amen. Yes, praise God. And though we don't want to face trouble and we don't like trouble, thank God trouble don't last always. But when we're through, going through it, we have somebody we can trust. Amen. Thank God. As Bishop pointed out today, in that Psalms 23, going through. That's it. We may be in it, but we're not stuck. We keep on moving forward with the Lord our God. So we thank God today. God's goodness is still in the land of the living. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord our God. Amen. Praise God. So in that verse, David is declaring that he would have lost it if he had not remembered that God's goodness is in the land. In 18, the final verse, we see another shift in David's writing, and one in which the writer says he will do what? Let's read that final verse. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David shifts and says to us, readers, listen, you can trust in the Lord. Matter of fact, I want you to wait on him. Don't faint. Don't get discouraged. Don't get tired. Don't be anxious, but be courageous and wait on him. And he's got something in store for you. Yes, he does. He has something in store for you. Question number 19 says, he says, if one does this, is what? If one wait on the Lord, God will strengthen your heart. What is that saying to me? That he will build me up. He will encourage me. He will, get this, empower me to go through, to handle, to make it, to hold on. Even if do nothing but just stand still and see God's salvation at work. Can I get an amen, somebody? Sometimes we don't need to do nothing but let God work it out. I recall a long time ago, one of the many times I had to purchase a car. And I laughed, my sister and I, because she was with me. When we think about this time, we both laughed. We went into the car dealership. Didn't have too much money to put down, but we needed a vehicle because we were without. And it was at a moment, I think, when I was not so much financially in need, but my finances were tight because I was a single mom at the time and I was trying to do this on my own. So we're sitting in the dealership and I'm thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen? And so we picked out the car, we went back to the dealership and we're sitting there And as the the person at the dealership is talking to us, my sister and I, we're just sitting there. Our mouths are tight. We ain't opened our mouths yet. And get this, we didn't say anything, and the dealer was making negotiations and putting into place things for us without us even talking. He says, "I'm gonna give it to you for this." She said, No, wait a minute, I can do this for you." And then he said, "I got it down to this." She said, No, wait a minute, I got this." By the time we walked out of there without opening our mouths, he had negotiated down to a price that was affordable on my behalf. Talk about God speaking for you. Sometimes all you got to do is just trust in the Lord, keep your mouth closed, and let him do the talking for you. Amen. Praise be to God. Well, this is what David is saying. God will strengthen your heart. He'll build you up. You may be facing some challenges. You may be facing some difficulties. You may not be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but hang on in there. He says, wait on the Lord and then be of good courage, because he's going to strengthen your heart. He was so excited about that word that God had given him at the end of this psalm that he repeated it. He repeated that final word of encouragement, not only to himself, but to us as later readers of this psalm. He repeated the command to wait on the Lord. Amen. And that's my word, my final word in the study of this lesson. If you can't do nothing else, wait on the Lord. Seek God, hear his voice, and wait on him. And in your waiting, he will encourage you. He will strengthen your heart. Hallelujah. We thank God today. And in a closing, the summation of this particular psalm, my heart prayer is that we get the message that David is saying to us, that no matter what we're facing, we don't have to fear. We can trust in the Lord. Amen. Both of these psalms, Psalms 34 and 27, has shown us, these both psalms written by David, that we can have confidence in God. Amen. We can trust him when trouble comes, and that we don't need to fear, that our Lord is only a prayer away, and he is mighty to save. Come on, won't you repeat that? I know we're not together, but you can repeat that in your own hearing right now, that God is mighty to save. Say that until you have confidence like David, that God is only a prayer away, and he is mighty to save. Take a moment and ask the Lord to reveal to you the message of both of these psalms and how they can have meaning in your life. One of the things I ask you to do as a homework assignment in this particular lesson was to write down four things that you have gleaned from the study of Psalms 34 and 27. And so, saints, when we come together in fellowship in a few minutes here, I'm going to ask you to share at least two things that you glean from the study of Psalms 34 and 27. To those of you that may listen to this at a later date, why don't you take a moment right now, and in the study of Psalms 34, in the study of Psalms 27, what is it that you've gotten that's going to help you to wait on the Lord and be of good courage? We know waiting is not the easiest thing to do, but trust God and be of good courage. Be blessed, my brothers and my sisters. I pray again that you be blessed by the study of this word, that something said, shared with you, have helped you to grow and to become even the more. Until next time, this is Elder Mary Ellis in the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship. God bless you. May heaven continue to smile upon you, is our prayer indeed.